before I appear.
On an ascertain. So that's the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. So that's Luke 1 to 12. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him into Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, and throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And this is God's word. May he bless it, and may he give us a real understanding of it. Thanks, folks. There's an interesting story about an Amish boy and his father who were visiting a shopping mall. They were amazed by all the different things that they saw. But especially they were taken by two shiny silver walls that could move apart, back and together again. The boy asked his dad, "What is this, father?" The man never having ever seen a lift in his life. "Son, I have never seen anything like this in my life. I don't know what it is." While the boy and his father were watching wide-eyed, an old lady in a wheelchair rolled up to the moving walls. They were watching earnestly and pressed a button. The walls opened and the lady passed between them into a small room. The walls closed and the boy and his father watched as small circles with numbers lit up above the walls. They continued to watch as the numbers lit up in the reverse direction. The walls opened up again and a beautiful young woman stepped out. The father, not taking his eyes off the young woman, said quietly to his son, "Go get your mother." You know, temptation is always there. We all suffer from temptation, but to be honest. And you know, Satan's always going to be attacking us with temptation. We're living in a world where it's full of temptations. We turn on the television, we just need to go outside that door. Temptation's there to tempt us. But this story here is a real, real powerful story if you look really into it. It's a real important part of Jesus' ministry. And it's where really things kicked off. After John the Baptist had been baptized, Jesus, we read, he goes into the wilderness led by the Spirit. And the real target of Satan's attack is Jesus' relationship to his Father. He says to him, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. You see the sneakiness here? These attempts to undermine his confidence, to undermine them, and sow doubts. And they're not so different from the serpent's approach in Genesis 3. Did God say? Did God say? We have truths. But this time the devil does not succeed as in Genesis. Jesus has the final word and is left in peace for a time. We read in verse 13, and as Christians, for believers who have experienced the new birth and know the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, we must watch out. Temptation is always there. You know, if we're all to be honest, we're all tempted. We all get tempted with something. Jesus knows our weaknesses, but so does the devil. He knows what to get us, and he knows how to tempt us. He knows our weaknesses. And that is why it's important to keep to the true word of God. And sometimes we can be people pleasers and want to change things to suit man. God gives us a clear, straightforward truth and guidelines to abide by, so we don't stay away or stray away from the path. He gives us the Bible. You know, people say the Westminster Confession of Faith, the Catechism, or it's old fashioned. You've not really looked at it. It's absolutely a fantastic guideline that was written by godly men to give us real truths about the Bible. Absolutely fantastic. And there's really two pieces out of this. You'll be glad I'm not going to go on all night, that we should look at here. And the first one is temptation itself. The very first verse tells us Jesus was led by the Spirit. So Jesus was well prepared. He had to be, because he was tempted for 40 days. Could you imagine that? Imagine being tempted for 40 days. Sometimes we feel that if the Holy Spirit leads us, it will always be beside a peaceful stream. Like Psalm 23, verse 2. But it's not always like that. It's not always the case. He put Jesus through the mill for some time and testing. And he might also lead us into difficult situations when we're facing trials. Remember the great rookie, the prophet Isaiah. Sorry, Elijah, who... You remember the 450 prophets of Baal and the fire that he brought down from heaven, and it consumed the offering to absolutely nothing. A great, great victory. Fantastic victory for the Lord and for Elijah. But what happened right after it? He started to get frightened and he'd done a runner. Things started to happen. If there was great victory and all these prophets and a great showing of the Lord and the consuming of this offering, and what happened? Fear and doubt started coming in. You got frightened. What's going on here? And they done a runner. Folks, temptation will mostly come after a high point. Have you noticed that? Everything's going great in the church. Everything's going fantastic and I'm having a great time. I went to church last night, it was so spiritual. I feel so great, this is fantastic. And then you go home and something happens. You get a phone call. We've all experienced it. Or something makes you really angry. Or something upsets you. It might even be a big bill or something like that. But the enemy's good at that. He's good at upsetting us. And that's what happened to Elijah in 1 Kings on Mount Carmel. Now you read here, the first thing that tempts Jesus with is hunger. He's been in the desert for a long time. He's really hungry. And the enemy will always attack us at our lowest point. He'll always come and chip away when we're at our lowest point. You shouldn't be going to that church. They're a load of hypocrites. They didn't do what they say. I'm not going to go there tonight. I didn't feel great. I'm sick on that one and this one. The enemy just always looking for an opening to come in. Or I didn't need to worship at the church. I can do that in my house. I can just sit in my house and do that. All lies for the devil. It's biblical to come together and worship with one another. It's biblical to encourage one another. The enemy wants to divide. He's done it. He's divided. We've seen it with our own eyes. The Church of Scotland. We've seen things happening. We've seen how the enemy can creep in and divide a congregation, divide things. He's good at it. Everything that the enemy used to tempt Jesus with, Jesus came back with an answer. Old Testament scriptures. Oswald Chambers says in his book, Disciple Indeed, gives us an insight regarding temptation. How are we to face the tempter? By prayer? No. With the word of God? No. Face the tempter with Jesus Christ, and he will give us the word of God, and the temptation will cease. Someone once said, I call on God, but row away from the rocks. Who could have thought to have found adultery in David, and drunkenness in Noah, and cursing in Job? Do you know something, folks? And we need a reminder of this. If God leaves a man to himself, how suddenly and scandalously may sin break forth into the holiest man on earth. I say unto all, watch a wandering heart, need a watchful eye, by Thomas Watson. Because something is not wrong doesn't always make it right. We've got to be careful we don't get sidetracked into the enemy's hands. The enemy used scripture the first time to tempt Jesus, wanting Jesus to turn bread into stone. The enemy will twist and use scripture even to change it for his own ends. He'll twist things. He'll mix things up. He'll pick away at things. He's good at that. He's been doing it for thousands of years to God's people. Then, if that doesn't work, the enemy uses the old sucker punch. Greed and power. Read verses 5 to 8. Saying to Jesus, bow down and worship me and it will all be yours. Took him to the highest point. Said, all that I'll give to you. Everything will be yours. Just bow down, bend that knee, and worship me. Old devil tactics. And you know, sometimes we've got to be careful. You know, even in churches, we all want to be in high points and positions. And the enemy can use that on us. He's used it in the past. The Catholic Church, Church of Scotland, all these other churches. People like to be in high positions. But the Bible says, those who are first shall be last, and those who are last shall be first. The devil's tactics haven't changed. Pulling man and woman away from the truth of the Bible, the lies. You just need to look at the schools, all the lies that's in the schools. Evolution. People are brought up with it. It's sown into them. It's sown into them for a young age. So when they get to a certain age, they're totally ungodly. They don't believe in anything. They have no faith whatsoever. The world spreads lies. They want to take men and women and boys and girls away from the truth. And they get frightened to speak out. Sometimes in churches, people are not even speak out because they're frightened to lose their high positions. If they preach the gospel, well, you can't do that in here. You can't speak the gospel in here. That's offensive. I've had it. Don't come back. Been thrown out of churches. I take that as a compliment. But people are offended with the gospel. They're offended with the truth. Jesus, nothing's new. When we tell people about the gospel and they get offended, they got offended with Jesus. Jesus offended them, so you know, it's nothing new. Didn't he be shooken up with it? That'll happen. Temptation is always going to be there. Right up to the day we go to glory, we're going to be tempted. If there's nobody that gets tempted here tonight, I've said it before, I would love to meet them after the meeting and have a wee chat with them. Because I get tempted every single day. I'm tempted with something. Every day. I've been tempted coming in. I was thinking about an ice cream and Lucas, but that's a different temptation. But we're tempted, aren't we? The temptation's always there. That's how the enemy works. The magazine Discipleship Journal asked its readers to rank the areas of greatest spiritual challenge to them. What areas is the greatest spiritual challenge? What do we find that we struggle with? And the result came back in these order. You'll be maybe surprised, maybe you'll not be surprised. One, materialism. Two, pride. Three, self-centeredness. Four, laziness. Five, anger and bitterness and sexual lust. Six, envy. Seven, gluttony. And eight, lying. I'm sure there's certain temptations that we can recognise with these temptations, with these things. And what they noted was that temptations were more stronger when they had neglected their time with God. So the temptations came more and more when the prayer time struggled, when they didn't attend church, when they didn't get encouraged, when they weren't looking in God's word. That's when the enemy attacks. The Bible says he's like a raging lion. A raging lion to devour us, to devour Christians. Even when we make a walk in faith, you didn't really feel that way. It was just your own feelings. You just imagined it. The enemy's good at that as well. 81%. And when we were physically tired, 57% resisting temptation was accomplished by prayer. 84% avoiding compromising situations where something happens and you let it go and you didn't nip it in the bud. So that person's annoying me and I'm really bugged with it, but you know what, I'm not going to say anything. You better get it out in the open and dealing with it. Because if you didn't deal with it, then it just festers into things and the enemy comes back in and that's when he moves in for the kill. Avoiding compromising situations. 76% Bible study, as I said. 66% being accountable to someone else. You know what? I've got certain Christians that I meet up with that I'm accountable to. I talk to them. I pray with them. And I ask them for prayer. You know, I say to them, I can go to them, they're like spiritual fathers to me. I say, well, I'm struggling this week, I've been tempted with this, can you pray with me? Somebody came and shared to me tonight that they struggled and we had a prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with us going to someone and saying, look, I'm struggling. I'm having problems. I'm struggling with my faith. This person's annoying me. Pray with me. I'm sure there's plenty of people in the church that we could trust that would sit down and pray with us. You know, there's an interesting story where it says a shopkeeper asked a little boy whose eyes were on a large basket of apples outside the shop, trying to steal one of those apples, are you? No, sir, replied the boy. I'm trying not to. There's times when spiritually we're in a desert, struggling with all different things in our life, and we're spiritually vulnerable and low. That's when the enemy tries to attack us and tempt us, and why it's necessary for Jesus to be tempted. The first temptation is part of the human experience. For Jesus to be fully human, for him to fully understand us completely, he had to face temptation himself. He knows what it's like to be lonely. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He's been through all these. He knows what it's like to be rejected, spat on, criticized. He knows, he's experienced all these things. He understands us. He's experienced them all. Hebrews 4, chapter 15. This high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all of the same temptations we do, yet he did not sin. He understands us. And we can be encouraged knowing that Jesus faced temptation without giving in to sin. He shows us that we do not have to sin when facing the seductive lure of temptation. Jesus is the only perfect human being who has ever lived. And that quickly brings me back to the next part I want to share here tonight. The fulfillment of prophecy. I'm not going to go into prophecy, so don't worry. But what I will say is this. It happened when Jesus walked into the temple as a boy in his boyhood home of Nazareth. And he read out the scroll of Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, was talking about the deliverance of Israel from the exile in Babylon as a year of Jubilee. When all the debts are cancelled, all the slaves are freed, and all the property was returned to the rightful owners. Leviticus 25. But the release from Babylonian exile didn't bring the fulfillment that everybody had expected. There was still a conquered and oppressed people. So what was Isaiah meaning about setting the captives free? And Jesus boldly announced this in Scripture. He says, this Scripture has come true today before your very eyes. Jesus is telling them, I am the one who sets the captives free. It's me. And brings the good news. But they could not see it. Or grasp it. Just like many people today, who cannot accept Jesus as the Lord and Saviour. Stiff-necked and hardened people. In fact, it's sometimes so insulting to them. Absolutely insulting. They're insulted with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They find it offensive. Even saying it in a swear word. Astonishment at Jesus' teaching quickly turns to anger and hostility, because he was saying that God sometimes chose to reach the Gentiles rather than the Jews. Jesus tells them that his hearers were as unbelieving as the people of the northern kingdom of Israel in the days of Elijah, a time for notorious for its great wickedness. Absolutely notorious. the most ungodly part of the kingdom. It was so bad. Yet, Jesus said that their hearers were as unbelieving as him. They were that angry that they wanted to push Jesus off a cliff. Let's just push him off this cliff and get rid of him. How dare he? But he slipped away quietly because his time had not come. Listen, folks. The gospel shakes people. The truth startles them. People don't like the truth. It challenges them. Don't be surprised by other people's reaction to the gospel. Don't be surprised. Most people react to the gospel in different ways. It happened to Jesus, so it will happen to us. If we're bold enough to tell people about the gospel. Adam, though, created a perfect, absolutely perfect, gave in to temptation. He was perfect, but he gave in to temptation. Jesus was the complete opposite. He resisted Satan. But his victory offers salvation to all Adam's descendants. Romans 5, chapters 12 and 19. Let me ask you here tonight. Are you offended? Well, good. Are you a religious person like these angry Jews that wanted to throw Jesus over the cliff? Or do you accept the truths of the Bible and sticking to these truths, even up to persecution? I'll tell you, folks, we're living in days now where persecution, even physical persecution, could be right round the corner. Could be right round the corner. We don't know what laws are going to come in. We don't know how things are going to change. Christianity has changed so much over the last 30 years, 40 years. It is unbelievable. We don't know what's round the corner. Persecution could be right round the corner. But we are not here to please man. We're here to please God. Because God is sovereign. And God says that for those who are loyal, he will be loyal. You may remember the Eric Liddell story? The Olympics, I think it was the 1920s Olympic Games. And Eric Liddell was ready to run the race. And the American guy walked up to him and handed him the wee bit of paper before he run it. And it says, God honours those who honour him. Folks, God honours those who honour him. Let me just finish off with this. The Bible teaches that it is directly and sovereignly inspired by God and is therefore to be submitted to us as living word, addressed directly to us. If we acknowledge its authority, we must bow to it. To take any other view is to stand in opposition to clear biblical teaching. And there will always be an element of mystery about the precise way in which the Bible has been produced. But this shouldn't surprise us. For mystery mostly accompanies all God's dealing with his creatures. Remember when Jesus walked into the temple and he read out, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has appointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the downtrodden will be freed from the oppressors." And my favourite bit, "And the time of the Lord's favour has come." Folks, the good news is Jesus is the light in this dark world. And he brings good news that if we put our trust in him, we could be Christians for 30 years. We could be Christians for a long time. 5 minutes. 3 days. I don't know. We might be struggling, but keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. Keep on that narrow road. Keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Believe in Him. We have the right to become children of the gospel, to be reborn, not a physical birth, but a spiritual birth that comes from the Lord and all the promises that come along with it. All who welcome Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives are reborn spiritually, receiving new life. Let me just ask you one question before I finish up here. You know, what has life got to offer us? You know, are we really happy for what the world has got to offer us? All these different things, all the world throws at us, all the two-facedness, all the pats on the back, all the agreeing. You know that agreeing where, you're fine, that's fine. The two-facedness. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, come to me. Come to me and rest. Have you asked Jesus Christ to make you a new person? To have this fresh start and a new life? And it's available to all who believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for your word here this evening. We thank you for your gift to the Bible, that Father, that we can draw close to you now through your word. We thank you for all the different parts of the Bible, Father, to Genesis, to Revelations, to Job. Lord, we thank you that, Father, that you know temptation. You know what it's like to be tempted. Lord, we just give you thanks that, Father, you loved us before we loved you. Father, we just pray tonight that you would just put that in our hearts and our minds, that you give us a real sense of your peace, a real sense of your presence. Uplift us, Father. Lord, would you encourage us, those here tonight who are struggling? Will you just uplift us? Those who don't know you, Father, we pray that you would reveal yourself to them in a real powerful way, Father. Show them that there is more to life in this world, and that life is through you. Lord, we pray these things and ask them in that name above all names, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.